Do real men wear drainpipe jeans and mascara? What happened to CBGBs? Where the hell is Mayor Koch? What happened to WKTU Disco 92? Where's Mr. Magic? What happened to rap music? What happened to the passion? Does anyone have a diaper wipe? Is there a Mr. Softy truck in the house? How many Ramones are still alive? I got three words for you.
Remember, like, pretty much the only fight we ever got into about a girl? Yeah, and how I was like, we should have just recorded this, bro. No. Yeah. We sat down on the bench where you gave me the dick talk, and explained our feelings of inadequacy and how our best friend having happiness crushes. No, not crushes. I had lesbian sex last night.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because when Jake got here, I was gonna query everybody on when the last time they had sex with a trans woman was, because I think I would lose.
That seems like that's a good bit. I'm sure that'll make Jake real comfortable.
I know, that's why I want
to
ask.
So who else do I have to get to, like, I'm like, who else do I have to get my friends back?
I missed Tony and Cookie, which I would have loved to be on.
You got Zoom.
Yeah. No. Shit. I don't know. I mean, obviously Virgil Texas whenever he's ready.
Yeah. It's funny because I was talking to Jake and I was talking, you know, the night that I hung out with Street Fight.
Yeah, there's that picture of a bunch of people who don't talk to each other anymore.
Yeah,
right?
No, but then the entire bar was filled with like a bunch. Yeah, it got deeper than that because, yeah, Virgil was there. Katie Halper started doing a show with Matt Taibbi. Mm-hmm,
right.
Weird move, Katie. Yeah. I don't know. No, I can't. Fucking Dasha and them were there.
Mm-hmm. Dasha claimed on the internet last week she'd never seen Jake at a party.
Oh, yeah. That. Someone. I bet Jake would love to talk about discourse.
Yeah.
Just love. Yeah, no. Nice guy. I was just like, it's realizing like you can just hit people up.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, do you want to be on our. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I regret that we didn't get Juliet from Twitter on when she was in town, but she seemed.
I don't know if I know her.
She's fucking Gigi Lily Allen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I do know her.
Yeah. We've talked about it, but didn't
pan out. We didn't get Mia. What's the one who hacked the flight list?
Oh, yeah. Mia Arson Crime You.
Yeah.
Or I think it's actually pronounced Maya, even though it's spelled Maya. But we had a nice little chat. That was just like right around when the show went offline.
Yeah. The FKA show. I keep dead naming it sometimes. It's like it is. Yeah. But
do you want to dead name me on air?
No.
Okay. I don't know. No, I figured it's a special occasion. It would be fun with you.
How dead? Like your government or your.
Let's go back to the name my parents almost gave me. Like, so dead that? It was never Jeffrey Bryan.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Which is that's, crazy because that's such like a waspy ass name. It's and two, like anything you know about. Like, it sounds
two
like.
Two names for one horrible daughter.
I know. It sounds like I would have like grown up to play lacrosse. Yeah, no, I just can't believe, but instead they gave me a name that rhymed. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It slant rhymed. It was weird. I
thought your last name was Preacher for a second.
Molly Preacher?
Yes, because you said you pointed to a book.
The one time we recorded book. At Lewis's. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And it's actually Molly Custer, but
yeah,
that was a weird book. You ever read Preacher?
No, I never read it.
Not even with your namesake. It's like one of those. I think it might be a good comic, but it was like one of those things you read in high school, kind of like Sin City or something, where it's like mind equals blown. It's like I'm not going to say it's the comic equivalent of Dance with the Devil, but it's at a time where things like Dance with the Devil are entertaining to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm glad that Dance with the Devil is a meme now. Like,
is it's
just like being such a bad song.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know what's a meme anymore. I guess I'm
a meme.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a meme.
That was a weird week.
Weird week. Yeah, when I went off crying, I was like, I had to leave a DSA meeting because I felt too visible.
Right. Sorry, I'm explaining to someone who Bob Menendez is.
I don't know. Is that the guy who got killed by the brothers?
No, he's a New Jersey senator who got caught feeding state secrets to Egypt in exchange for like gold bars and cash. He had like 500 grand worth of gold bars and cash in his house. And there was a tweet about how like, you know, it was hidden all over his house and he chose to get it in a form that's like very difficult to convert to cash for love of the game. Like, it wasn't even about
love
the money.
Love of the game is the best.
I mean, it's very New Jersey.
Lewis has a love of the game tattooed on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I take a photo of you?
Yeah.
I'm going to put here. Act like you're podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Put your headphones on.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know someone's serious. Okay, cool.
Podcasting, actively podcasting.
Pick one.
Okay.
I'm just going to post it on the Instagram and write real heads no.
Oh, I have my hands on my hips in a really weird way and every one of them.
You want to do it again?
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
I haven't felt photogenic recently, so this is like hard. But...
You look really cute.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, actively podcasting.
All right,
yeah. Those are better. My hands are in my lap in a very polite way. Oh, yeah.
I recorded with Radio Free Use yesterday.
That's that?
Lucy and Sylvie's podcast.
Oh, cute.
Great name.
It is.
It might be the most offensive episode.
That you've ever been
not
on
the, you know, like the difference between edgy and offensive, like kind of. Well, one of it was me reading Nessa's Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Truman Show Society, because they wrote, what is it? Do you know how fat you have to be fat shamed by Lizzo?
No, I know.
So like, I know. I was like, I was dying. I was like, I don't know if they identify. I don't think they would say that because they called me a like tender queer white PC kid for that. But they really do like making like they are on some kind of South Park shit in a weird, funny way. Coming from a non-binary trans person of color.
I've known them in some capacity for about a decade and I've always thought of them as the non-binary trans person of color Trey Parker.
they're just like, yo, I'm sick. Like it's funny like when they do an anti-PC stance,
right?
Because it's like it's about trolling like us kind
right,
of
yeah no it's about making queers. You and me very uncomfortable
yeah except that one it was oh it was in Clementine Morgan font
yeah
so what else is new you know no major life changes
basically everything I moved I got a job which is part of why I am not podcasting anymore I'm not going to talk any more about that but I'm employed again it's traumatic work, which, you know, right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But it's good.
It's like professional trauma dumping. Oh, no. I mean, receiving.
Yeah. No, it's the opposite of podcasting or our brand of podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
We were making about $40 a month to trauma dump four people.
Yeah.
An audience. And now... I, you know, basically my job, I get an email from someone and I think like, holy shit, that's the worst thing I've ever read. And I spend like an hour figuring out, how to help them. And then I open the next email and I'm like, never mind. That's the worst thing I've ever read. And then like, I spend an hour trying to help
them.
What
are you doing on Tuesday night?
And then, I get a third email where it's just someone calling me a mentally ill groomer and it's a relief.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, fair
I can
enough,
take that. Yeah.
What are you doing on Tuesday night?
Tuesday night. Maybe some DSA stuff, maybe not.
Okay. Rachel has a, in this, I think some bar in the city or Brooklyn Heights has a, 4-year anniversary of her becoming a public defender. You could go to trauma.
Oh, that sounds sick. Yeah.
She's going to trauma. Yeah. And she said it's so cute. She'd be mad if I said this on the show, but I'm still going to, because it's a cute kind of mad, not where she was just like, she said it'll be all night. And she just texted me back. She's like, Maxell, I realized I just said all night when I meant till 10. And yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. It depends on what my DSA sponsee.
Yeah.
What their week looks like.
Oh, Sylvie's gonna set me up with.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. It's great. Mm-hmm. There's another one of them. Yeah.
They keep spawning.
Oh, you gotta join us for Top Talk. Oh. That's me and Cosnia's radio show.
I don't know Cosnia.
She's cool. Cool. She's just like a, I think she's in her 20s. She's a top.
Okay.
She wears a Mets hat.
Oh, that's tight.
She does bits anyway. Mm-hmm. Like she does some like sketch. I'm sorry, Cosnia, if I said sketch comedy. I don't know what you exactly do. Now you do some funny. I know you do some kind of funny who's on first type thing. Mm-hmm. But about queerness or something weird. But I'm just making stuff up and slandering. But we were just riffing, and I was like, "Let's do Top Talk and make it like a old timey talk show, like a sports show." Except we don't. She might know about baseball, so I'd just be lost.
I'm just like, who's a puppy girl? And it's like, no, who's a piss bottom? What's a puppy girl? Well, yeah. A puppy girl is a.
On my way. I mean, I'm gonna get Jake. So okay, cool. We're gonna monologue.
Yeah, I'll
Hey.
Oh, it's hello. Jake Forrest. How's it going?
Hello. Jake, Molly. What am I dead naming you now?
No, that, yeah. No, that's my actual.
No, I know. Molly challenged me. Yeah. If that's cool, we can switch around. Molly challenged me to. In the honor of our old podcast, to dead name her, and I pussied out because friendship.
Yeah. So is that why?
Because I'm a pussy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't even say. Because I'm I hate trans women, according to Twitter.
According to Twitter, we all hate trans women.
Yeah.
Has, has anyone accused you of that? I don't think. Yeah, I think. I think. Yeah, no. I think. All, I think. Yeah, Molly. Yeah.
So I guess when they call you a chaser, that's the other opposite.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think some people are implying that there's like a kernel of repressed. I'm going to do headbutts, but
in a chaser.
I didn't realize you get accused of being a chaser.
Not really. Only jokingly from trans mm-hmm. friends. I've never really.
Okay. Yeah, we're really fucking it up for the straight girls.
Yeah.
Because like we'll just talk to like a nice guy that treats trans women like women, and they'll be like, "Oh, what's that be fucking chaser?"
It's fucking going on the though. Trans podcast.
Yeah, they're like oh no, this one only half works, so I'm not going to use my headphones. Yeah. But I never do, and Marcy points out I don't talk into the mic like ever. Yeah. But yeah, this is a really beat setup. When we had Lavender, who does sissy allegations, great name for Instagram. She just sat and like lowered the chair and talked into that mic because we had like six people here. But
that one,
yeah.
I have the same setup, same Rodecaster.
Oh, yeah, I need to get this. I just got what Pet told me to get, but mm-hmm. then I think I need more stuff.
She knows, I guess, yeah.
This podcast has an editor now. Shout outs to Bree.
Wow, for real?
I wake up, I check Grindr, I see a message that says, "Let me edit your podcast."
Sick.
Because, I mean, that's the thing about, you know, what happened with Dysphoria Dimes, too, is like Dysphoria Dead Names.
Well, people hated the sound quality of Dysphoria.
Because it was terrible.
It was dog shit. Yeah.
And
the time we ran the fan in the background, the whole episode was awful.
But what was I going to say? But then also because so many of us do audio shit. Mm-hmm. So it was like even more so because they're like, please let me fix your. Anyway.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many people do audio shit and how our podcasts all still sound bad. I interviewed Steve Albini on my show one time and the sound fucked up and we were like, "You're right there." Like,
yeah.
But I mean, that's how he likes to do things.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that some people just live on as a Twitter force.
Right. Like what's Steve Albini produced record you can name?
Well, he's the thing. He still does shit all the time. It's just like purposely low profile.
It's cool.
But you're right. I mean, it is. He's more notable for that. There was a band, Cloud Nothing. I guess this was over 10 years ago, but I remember listening to that album, and then I looked at the notes and was like, oh, he did this one.
Mm-hmm. I remember that band name.
They were good.
Yeah.
I like that Shellac song a little too much.
The Intel one?
Yeah. See, it's not even... It's... I could see how it would be appropriated by incels.
I like when people on Twitter in 2023 get mad at something Steve Albini says. And I'm like, you probably don't realize this, but in 1994, he had a band called The Rape Man.
Yeah.
We're setting the bar really high for the Rape Man guy.
Right.
But he's one of those people that's like, yeah, we thought, I didn't listen to that podcast, but I think I listened to a podcast where you talked about doing that podcast.
I talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. Well, we are now, and we didn't even do it. He was just felt like saying that, like, in the 90s, it felt like we were, like, at the peak of subversive whatever, and the world's ending anyway. Mm-hmm. And this is, like, it's kind of, I mean, I really didn't... None of us remember that much of the 90s in the cold. Wait, we were all sentient. Yeah, I was like, wait, no. I was like, we were all in like elementary school.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, no. I was like, none of us you don't remember anything from elementary school, right? No.
I mean, my childhood didn't start getting fucked up till I was like 12.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I mean like to be like, oh, this is subversive. Yeah. None of us were judging like art on subversiveness and problematic names like Rape Man, but.
It was my favorite band when I was 9 years old.
Yeah. Oh, my mom would not have let me have that.
Ordering my Rape Man picture day in the third grade.
Did they have merchandise?
I don't know.
I need to see this now, but how did he end up on your show?
Oh, he's one of those people that you can just get. Like, he's actually, you get to brag about it, but he's actually like very lonely or something. Mm-hmm. He's just always online, you know?
Yeah.
And I hit him up on Twitter, and I think I had the hookup via the Eve 6 guy, because the Eve 6 guy is really good, really mm-hmm. tight with him, because they're both Twitter weirdos. So I kind of had that. But honestly, when I was telling people about it, like, I think I did a Facebook post about it because I was like, this is crazy. And then like three other people that are friends of mine were like, oh, yeah, I did something with him 3 years ago or whatever. And I was like, oh, he's one of those guys that if you hit him up, he'll just do it. The funniest thing about it was that we pay our guests because we make money off that show. And I tried to give him $50 and he told me to go get a bag. This is like the most Gen X dude thing to say.
Yeah. Bag of what, Steve? Times have changed.
Wait. Go get a bag with $50.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, no, that's funny though. That's sweet.
Are we recording? Is this the show?
Yeah, we are. Oh, is this cool?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I was like, I should add another thing. Yeah, no, this is what we do. Thanks to you for being a part of it.
Absolutely.
All
I do is podcast.
Tony did it last week. Totally different loudmouth trans divorcee.
Yeah.
Not Tony, but our friend Cookie.
Yeah, no, right.
The problem was with Dysphoria Dimes breaking up was when Lewis left, it was like either Molly or myself could have just been replaced with our friend Cookie Hagendorf. And it would have just kind of gone on seamlessly, like another loudmouth punk top in their mid-30s.
Cookie's 40.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She has a license plate that says mommy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That voice memo she left about the energy drinks.
I think
about it all the time.
I'm at this woman Cookie's house, and... I get a text from Molly or voicemail being like, hey, I'm about to have sex for the first time ever in my life. No, what is it? It had been quite a long time.
It had been 3 months.
Yeah, you did a Volcel thing.
It was Volcel, and we were having luxury hotel sex for my birthday.
Yeah, and you were like, Bang Energy or Yerba Mate? And I was like, Yerba Mate. And then everyone said it. And then I said, oh, okay, I'll tell Molly. And Cookie stops us and is like, wait. I know who she's with.
Yeah, Cookie's known my girlfriend for like 25 years. What was her response? Was like, my normal answer to this would be yerba mate. That's the sex drink. But I know that something so evil is about to happen in that hotel room that only bubblegum flavored Bang could be appropriate.
She was like, Bang has an evil energy. And that's exactly what you I like your Cookie impression.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, man, that's so funny.
Yeah. God, Twitter stupid.
I feel like that's a good answer. Yerba mate is like healthier. Mm-hmm. It seems
Do you like a kombucha?
I'm all right. Thank you, though.
I just buy drinks.
That is a good selection over there.
Yeah, it's just coffee. It's not a good selection, but it's ample. Well,
they're nice drinks.
I don't know why I'm arguing with you about that.
All good.
Yeah.
I kind of love energy drinks. They feel like your body should not be meant to process them.
Absolutely not.
But they work so well.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever drank a Red Bull being like, this just tastes like crushed up children's Tylenol and my stomach hurts so much, but like, I'm going to make it to midnight.
Yeah. I have that ADD thing where you do Coke or drink coffee and it has the opposite effect.
Right.
And you concentrate.
Yeah. But Red Bull doesn't do that. For some reason, it hits me right.
I'm always astounded by like people for whom stimulants actually treat a condition, how it works, that's even or like someone who fucking like Maxell, when we're hanging out and you're like, oh, I'm on 3 Klonopin right now and you're behaving normally.
Yeah.
Because I'm famously not mentally ill at all and don't need things like that. So when I take them, I just wind up like drooling on myself.
Famously not mentally ill. Posted an Alex ad from the psych ward.
Yeah.
That was a good, what was it?
It said something about like, the headline was like in the psych ward ... And then the text was like, and like, this is the most twisted thing I could imagine doing, just another something to throw in the trash heap of modernity. And then I said, do not respond. And of course people responded.
Yeah.
Then they took my phone for a few days because I was taking selfies.
Oh yeah, that happened to Claire too.
Yo, I look so fucking hot in those. I have this like 1,000-yard stare that I wish I could get at a time when like the 1% of me that wasn't dead to the world was not daydreaming about shooting so much heroin that I die. But like, I will never be able to emulate that in like any other state.
Claire sent me all these cute selfies from
she looked good.
Why don't they want you to take selfies?
They don't want you to use a camera in there at all. They put like, special tape over all of the lenses that like, if you remove it, like the word void shows up, so they know if you've done that.
Wow.
So what's funny is my girlfriend was in there and she was sending me selfies and I was talking to Sylvie, who had just been in the psych ward. Shout outs to Radio Free Use.
Shout outs to NYU Langone taking care of.
It's like there's one psych ward that's particularly trans friendly. So it's like, I was trying to make the joke about bartenders and the $20 bill, but it doesn't work.
Like the $20 bill that gets passed around. No.
Yeah.
It's just like a nice chain of referrals.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so like, I was like, yeah.
Like when everyone was sending their girlfriend to me to get punched in the face in summer 2019.
Well, that was a good summer. and then, yeah. Did I know you in summer 2019?
We were not in a comfortable place because you weren't sure if it was going to make Max upset to talk to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we
I think it was okay, but it was like we weren't hanging out.
No.
And I was like, just getting sober, completely manic. Yeah, I can't actually talk about most of what I did that time. But That was a time. Yeah. I wasn't getting violence cucked by you.
No.
Wait. I have two cuck chairs in my house.
What's that mean?
Like the cuck chair?
Someone pointed it out.
Yeah,
the chair in the hotel.
It's a little dinky chair. Yeah. I have two that are like clearly cuck chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But no cuck holding has gone on so far. So when you're just sitting in it, it just feels a little inappropriate. Like, I'm not going to have breakfast in my cuck chair.
Yeah, they're weird and small, and they fit in spaces that are just odd to be in for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every aspect of it is meant to be humiliating. Like, anybody who sits in one looks like one of those pictures of an Irish wolfhound trying to get on a couch.
It's funny how people will communicate about little niche things in porn now. Like, that's something that I'm not trying to be like, oh, whoa, Twitter, the internet, social media. But, like,
go off.
I was thinking about this. Like, major porn conglomerate websites are not really nearly as much of a thing anymore, I don't think. Like, I know there's still, like, Brazzers or, like, I know there's still an industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like... the kids today will never know about being, like, 12 and being, like, I'm pretty sure Bang Bus isn't real, but I can't prove it. You know?
It's Santa Claus or something.
It's crazy that the Bang Bus picked up the same woman as I saw.
All these porn stars sure are gullible.
Yeah. A bunch of perfect 10 women walking around.
Oh, it is Miami.
True.
Maybe it is real. I think it was Miami. I don't know. I've watched too many terrible things off SoulSeek. Me and my friends, we used to have a... It was like the first person to get a DSL computer, and we had this basement that was like the boy basement of... Mm-hmm. That we had a hole, and we all just pissed in it. There's a bathroom, and it was like upstairs, but we were just like, no, we're just... This is like my friend's parents' house in Windsor Terrace, too. Yeah. We were at the point in time where we were like... Not sexually getting off, but self-aware getting off on, like, being stupid and, like, worshiping Gigi Allen type of shit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The, like, older kid who's just hangs out and then acts like he's... Be like, you guys are so immature, but it's also, like, you're 4 years older and hanging out with our friend group. He gave us a bullet, not because he was, like, a cool older kid that did gun stuff, but because he was the kind of kid that would... order like a bullet. And he's like, whatever, y'all can't do anything stupid with it. He didn't need to say y'all. So he left it with us, and my friend Soren takes a spoon and he puts the bullet on the spoon and puts a lighter to it and shut the fucking thing. The back of it blasted off and hit him in the chest, like just a little bit. So he just kept going, yo, they shot me, which looked cool, but like, now when I'm thinking about it, it's like when we were younger, it's like someone could have died. I know, it's fucking crazy right now. I'm like, someone would have got manslaughter at the very least.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's very creative though.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that. I guess there's no reason to.
Yeah. But we made a.
I've been in a situation where I have like loose bullets, but never like I want to like make this work like a bullet does.
The only way I can explain it, it was like a think tank of stupid boys, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd just be down there like, what dumb shit could we do?
Yeah,
we had an air mattress pump. I know where you're thinking it's gonna go. It doesn't. We rolled the biggest rolled cigarette with top tobacco we could find and put it in the place that sucks in and pumped it and just blasted the entire basement full of cigarettes. What else? I'm like, what else? Like, oh, and anyway, so I was thinking of, they had the DSL computer, which is some of the, like, It was a time when you would, you know, like, songs were constantly misattributed to people. Like, I still don't know who actually made that song Detachable Penis, because it was just like six different bands. You'd like spend 20 minutes downloading a Slipknot song. Mm-hmm. That was just some local band.
Yeah, or you download Nirvana cover of Enter Sandman, and it's Wesley Willis.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the computer had been disconnected from the web because we killed it with porn, but there was just like all the worst things that I wouldn't like. Most of the titles weren't actually the things, but stuff that I would not even watch as a joke now, but just like, and we just had a log, and you had to log in, time out, porn busted too. So, this is just like,
my equivalent of that was just this one kid, with absentee parents who lived down the block from me. And we would jerk off together. We would just like watch various. He was like the kid. He had a cable modem before anyone else.
Was this like, did you take measures to make sure it wasn't gay?
No, none. There were no anti-gay countermeasures. Maybe we would reassure each other that it was like fine.
This is fine.
But like,
this is fine. The fire.
Yeah.
Like, the dog in the room. Yep.
Yeah. Escalating. Yeah, there was usually this weird fucked up corgi in the room. But like, we did these like escalating, like small acts of arson that like began with normal kid shit, like, you know, lighting an action figure on fire. And then he had
this,
like,
the room from the
rich neighbors who lived like up a hill behind him and like ignored an order not to do so and built their pool in a flood zone, and it would just like chronically flood his family's house. So we decided what we were going to do was douse golf balls in lighter fluid and hit them with a tennis racket at those people's house. We didn't burn it down, but it's like, again, that kind of shit you do when you're 12 years old, where it's like you easily get charged with like arson or manslaughter, you kill someone. Yeah. But it just seemed like adequate revenge.
You threw a brick off the side of a Staten Island train overpass onto a car. It might have been like a cinder block. And here's the thing.
That's like what they're doing at the beginning of Over the Edge, where they're like shooting the BB gun onto the freeway.
I remember being like, oh, dude, I think it was probably a cinder block. And then I'm just looking at the levels. Is this one, two? Okay.
Some kids did that in my town when I was growing up, and I think the big thing was that they blamed it on Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, that was your town?
Wait, no, you know what? I think that's a really famous story that I just heard.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Some kids did something bad, and they blamed it on Beavis and Butthead. I'm just looking to see.
I think that happened a lot, but like, this is like an impossible argument to make because like kids have been doing that shit since forever, right?
People love to blame stuff on media in the 90s, like how Columbine was like a mixture of KMFDM and the video game Doom.
Yeah.
See, well, everyone blamed Marilyn Manson. It was the last time.
Right.
But like, they did like KMFDM and Doom, which doesn't get you anywhere. Did I tell you? I was reading more up on Columbine, as one does.
Of course.
Actually, I was reading about it because there's this really good book, Juliet the...
She Said Yes.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's the... when he put the gun to her head.
Says, do you believe in God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which didn't happen. Yeah, but Christians really wanted to make a lot of martyrs out of that, which is like... What they do, that's fine, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, she said yes. I did not. You said she said yes, and then you said something about when they put the gun to her head, and I just was like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? And then I'm like, oh, Columbine.
Like, thing like we were a talking weird, about. Opportunistic, like, apocryphal Christian.
No.
We both had the same brain wrinkle about a very obscure detail of Columbine.
No,
As
everyone should. Oh, I was reading this book, Juliet the Maniac, by, I think it's Julia Scoria, I'm not going to pronounce her name right. Anyway, it's just being at this high school party. It's based on a true story. She goes to a bunch of the places they sent bad kids in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like, all those places got shut down, bad kid schools.
Yeah.
But anyway, about... like, I think maybe almost losing your virginity or something, and then just hearing everyone like freaking out and going in the TV, and like Columbine was happening. And I was like, because it was on 420.
Right.
So yeah. It was cool to read not the first hand account of Columbine on 420. But anyway, so there's like, There's a lot of details that just aren't there. Like, were they actually bullied? Were they the bullies? Were they bullied for this? Were they racist? Were they, you know, like, it's a huge, but they had other plans. I tell you about this?
Like how they wanted to like blow up part of the school or?
Yes, but not only that, they had a plan and it was to hijack an airplane and fly it into New York City.
No.
What?
I'm not kidding.
What?
Which, like, I don't think they were taking flight lessons or anything like that, so it's not.
Whoa. Do you think that, did Bin Laden, was he inspired by them? Yeah. You know, is that why he
inspired
did it?
By Marilyn Manson? Yeah, like, he heard the story and he was touched.
If Heathers had never happened, then the Columbine kids would never do what they did. And 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
Straight line from Heathers to 9/11.
Oh.
It's all Christian Slater's fault.
Twitter's fun.
Yeah,
Twitter's fun. You've been. Do you want to avoid talking about that? I was like,
I don't give a shit.
You've been having fun on Twitter.
I'll talk about anything.
Yeah. No. Okay. Cool. I was just like, it's boring. Well, it's funny because I've talked about it on the show, but like, I got niche micro main charactered a little while ago over a meme I didn't make about myself and ketamine, even though I'm sober, but. What was cool is like Emily came up to me at the Minion Def Cult show and was like, hey, my girlfriend knows you from Twitter or something. So then I met them. I didn't know y'all were dating. And like,
that's funny.
And I thought we were like mutuals or had talked. And then later when we were at 538, she's like, oh, I just saw that meme and that whole thing. And I was like, this girl is cool. And I was like, I like that I met like you with like an awesome girlfriend. So like, I like that. I like that I met. I had an actual nice human interaction from.
Oh, that's nice.
This, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, often people, even who are unhinged on the internet are. Just as soon as people see each other face to face, everyone becomes way more normal
because of
the anonymous nature of it. But Emily, my girlfriend's girlfriend, is very much like that. And that's how I met Violet is I was at a party and Emily came up to me and she blew up my spot. She like started talking about my podcast, which is. Embarrassing if you're not around podcasty people.
You know? Yeah, it is like a.
I didn't like when people did it.
Yeah, and then you're like, "What's it about?" And
yeah, and you're like, "Well,
have you ever heard the band Rape Man?" But
we talk to that guy sometimes.
Yeah, we just talk with Steve Albini. It's called Steve Albini's Blues, or what was? But
That almost happened. The Eve6 guy tried to get Steve Albini to start a podcast with me and then also that Falcon guy. And Steve, I think, was the one that decided to nix it.
Did you toured with Eve6?
Yeah. I'm also on the cover of their newest album.
Oh, sick.
It's really odd.
Did you do, like, stand-up before they went on?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. There were two bands. The first one was this band called We Are the Union, which is really cool, which is a ska band who is fronted by a trans woman. Very cool band.
Big surprise. You think the band with the trans woman in it is cool?
Oh yeah, you know, because you know what I'm up to. That's how I met them. Actually,
I'm on Twitter.
And then Eve6, and I did 15 minutes before We Are the Union, and then 15 before Eve6, and we did a month of shows. It was really fun. It was cool. Yeah. So now I just oddly know all these semi-famous people and. We Are the Union, very cool band. You know, more people have issue with the ska these days than
the trans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
It's not my thing at all. It's not, but that's like, you know, just musical taste. I thought like, so Zach Lopez was going to interview them or did interview them. I think he wrote a piece for like, I don't know, the Washington Post or some shit. Sounds about right. Just take my word for it. don't Google Zachary Lopez. We Are a Union and, you know, find a piece. But, you know, because he was telling me about that they, you know, had a trans singer, and this is right when we were about to start our podcast. Mm-hmm. And we were like, yo, could we get her on? I like asked, and Zach was like, actually was like, hey, once this article is done, let me follow up, because apparently she had realized she was a woman while she was touring with Leftover Crack.
Oh, this is her.
Yeah. And like, and we were going to just, we never had a podcast about Leftover Crack, but we were going to have one because we're ridiculous.
Sure.
And we have our resident expert, Michelle, who's never been on the show.
I'll come on if you can get Michelle and Stizza on.
Obviously,
we don't want Sturgeon on.
Michelle's dying to come on, but anyway.
Yeah. I thought you were just going to say Michelle's dying.
No. Yeah, I mean, pardon me. But so like, Zach actually was like, yeah, I can reach out. And then we kind of thought about it. And because like, this is like a little ska tune network thing and all of these younger people getting into ska and like third wave and whatever.
That ska tune network person is in We Are the Union.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So like, you know, there's this whole like younger Zoomer,
trans. A new-ish wave, I think, is what they're arguing.
It's a new wave of like appreciation for third wave ska, which is what's... I'm not going to say cool, but like, you know, is neat. It's nifty.
They push ska to its limit.
Yeah. But so then I was like, oh shit, like, wait, I don't know.
Nifty. Those are
nifty. Word. Yeah. Okay.
It's an appropriate.
Yeah. It's neat. Word. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay. But so then Zach was about to ask and I like hit him. I was like, hey, don't do that actually, because we're going to like have her on and talk about Leftover Crack. And it's going to be kind of funny and silly and cool. And then maybe some of their listeners are going to keep listening to her podcast and hear us just say like tranny and faggot and talk about like self-harm and like eating disorders and all the other things we talked about. Right. And like, she's going to get like, I feel like to that audience, like we are like perfume nationalist or like we are like you know, like,
well, no, I feel like you could like, you know, whatever, I don't know, if like come to grips with your trans identity or like learn about yourself and like form community through ska, or you could do it by listening to a podcast featuring three mentally ill former drug addicts.
Yeah.
And like, I know which one of those is going to wind up with a better adjusted person.
Here's the thing. I think you're probably right that if Reed came on this show, that could, there's a potential of secondhand cancellation or whatever, but that's ultimately up to that person. But like, I did stand up in front of that band for a month, and I'm not really like an, I'm like a post edgelord. Like, I understand that sense of humor, and it's kind of a like a thing I think about a lot. And you're right that it is like just another way of coming to terms with like processing shit. It's when you're engaged in it, like making jokes about all the horrible things in the world is just like this inversion thing that only people that are, you know, fucked up and a lot of fun are able to like understand. The problem is, I guess, like, I think that Reed is, I know this person. I've talked to them a lot on tour, and I think they're smart enough to get that. But you're right that it would be like a weird optics thing.
Yeah, no, and we also just started this. Like, we didn't, honestly, with the show what it was, it would probably have been fine. But we didn't know where we were going and what we were doing. And we had just, like, and I was just like, this is probably not the best idea. We also just would have, like, have someone come meet us so we can have a Yeti in one room and we're all, like, eating Thai food and, like, so what's up? I'm doing a weed deal.
Yeah. We never got big enough for anybody to complain that I was, like, triggering their misophonia.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, people who have, like, certain, like, auditory stimulation things. Like, if you're eating on microphone or something, it irritates them.
I mean,
it's, like, a common complaint.
That's normal, but but
I don't care, but there's people that really, I can tell it really bothers them. Like, I believe them, and I just forget every six months. And then I get an email. It's like, I fucking hated that.
We didn't, we never got to the email point. No. We got some nice messages, but
the problem was Lewis and I would always forget to eat until recording time and then be too hungry to speak. It was, if we were going to do a podcast, we needed to be.
There were a lot of things, mm-hmm. but we, hold on one sec. I'm going to pause real quick. Mm-hmm.
To the one true God above, Here is my prayer. Not the first you've heard, but the first I wrote. Not the first, but the others were a long time ago. There are two people here, and I want you to kill them. First, she can go quietly by disease or a blow to the base of her neck, where her necklaces close, where her garments come together, where I used to lay my face. That's where you ought to kill her, in that particular place. Him, just fucking kill him. I don't care if it hurts. Yes, I do. I wanted to fucking kill him, but first, make him cry like a woman. No particular woman. Let him hold out, hold back. Someone or other might come and fucking kill him. Fucking kill him. Kill him already, kill him. Fucking kill him. Fucking kill him.
Yeah, I just... So, do you shake like a woman?
Do I show?
I'm sorry. I know I've been beating the joke to death. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Someone was insulting Jake. Do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
You can explain. I don't know. Let me tell you what Jake was happening. Yeah.
Oh, no, I can tell you the story firsthand. It's really funny. There's this podcast called The Legion of Skanks that is like a dumb edgelord podcast that is loosely connected to ex friends of mine in the Cumtown world, or, well, I guess just them, but like,
yeah,
you know, some background on the show. It's like one guy is just a fucking comic. The other guy is like a weird MMA Proud Boy guy. The third guy was going to be the libertarian candidate for president.
Yeah.
They get all this dark money through like the, you know, the Koch brothers and shit, because they are like sort of launder libertarian values through their weird, you know, yeah, young boy podcast or whatever. But the Luis Gomez, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake is his nickname.
Yeah.
He's particularly fixated on me, and I'm not really sure how it started. I think that it goes way back to when I used to do stuff at this venue called the Creek in the Cave that has since moved to Austin to do like the Joe Rogan 2020 thing or whatever. But I used to do stand up there, and they became that venue's sort of like cash cow because they needed a place to record and do their shows. So I started making fun of, like, because they were just like this big famous, you know, edgelord podcast.
Yeah.
And they would have like Nazis on and stuff. They would have like Milo Yiannopoulos and the Trump era alt-right people as guests.
Yeah, quick pause on that. Mm-hmm. No, not like in a bad. I just remember when they had Milo on, or they were about to, and then the Creek in the Cave canceled it.
Yeah.
And they did it somewhere else or whatever. And I was talking to other Molly, and we both, she's like, I really thought that Girls Chat would have been the one when I heard podcast. And then I was listening to one of the last episodes of Girls Chat, and they were like, yeah, we want to get Milo on and talk about how his cancellation is homophobic. Anyway, back, sorry.
Oh, man, R.I.P. in both senses, Girls
yeah,
Chat.
No, seriously, that was a really important podcast to me. But I try and explain it to people, or I try and share it with people, and then you ever like start to share something and you realize like it's like watching High Fidelity with a zoomer.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh wait. No, it's like watching after you said it's like your favorite movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, he did a lot of bad things.
I mean, I know he's bad. I don't like the protagonist. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, Girls Chat was like a show where they would purposely have on the most like horrible canceled people as a bit, but I liked them because they were like very upfront about that.
Yeah.
And they were not doing this specific niche reactionary thing that people like the Skanks do, which is, you know, if they get any criticism over the purposely provocative thing they do, they make like a straw man scapegoat out of a person.
And PC culture.
This SJW is trying to stop us. That's something I don't think the Girls Chat people would ever say. For all my criticisms, I still have of them. They're lunatics. So I love them. But like, you know, whatever. They're bananas. But so I was trying to speed up the story because I've told it a million times. But like, I made fun of them for that. And then it caused this guy to fixate on me. And so for years, I would just get these weird fucking tweets, and he'd sort of like, you know, corral his listeners into, you know, all attacking a person online at once or whatever. And it became such a thing that, like, you know, I mean, what's weird,
Jake,
is
you're gay.
Oh, no.
Jake, you're gay.
No, it's happening again.
Jake, you like cum.
I do.
Just like literally things you're like, yeah. Like,
okay, I just want to say, because like the thing that happened to you last week, I feel like there was one guy who was like serially posting a picture of you in porn.
Oh, that happened a couple years ago, but it's.
But it's just like, this person had sex they enjoyed with a bunch of hot women is not the fucking dunk you think it is.
Yeah, and also just like the extent that you have to go to like kind of have that photo on hand all the time is.
Yeah,
like,
well, so I mean, I was seeing this yesterday with, it wasn't with that, but like, some, you know, someone was being a dick about Matt Crispin, and like, you know,
he's like,
rest up, yo, if you get better.
Raiders up.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so someone was like talking, but I just clicked on that guy's profile and in his replies tab, and he was posting the same meme or infographic or whatever in like 20 different discussions about Matt Crispin. Like, he was just like, and it's like, what is, and it's like, what is your life, dude? I don't think you're doing communism right. I don't even know what communism is, but just chill. Just chill.
It's really the worst when those people are like also consider themselves online tankies.
Yeah.
The fuck. But like, that's a whole other thing. Anyway, long story short, I have a show one time, and like, you know, I think I consider that, like, up until this point, I was assuming these Luis Gomez and these people were like cashing in on using me as the antagonist to their show. But one time I had a show at the club that they all work at, which is The Stand, which is kind of run by those types of people and shit. And I showed up to do a set, and I hadn't really performed there in a long ass time, like years. And he came up to me and his eyes were red. You know, like a guy gets so mad, he's like crying, kind of. Mm-hmm. And he sort of had headphones on, and he was like, he started saying something at me. I took him off. I was like, huh, excuse me. And he's just like, you like to say that sort of thing on the internet? You think it's like, you know, you want to back that shit up or whatever? And I like kind of never met this person.
Yeah.
Make fun of him for fun, like every day of my life. But I don't really think about what he looks like, because it's just a Twitter icon, you know? And so it took me a minute to figure out what was happening. And I, just because I was like working at a new club and trying to develop a relationship, and I was kind of at work, and I was, you know, the front of a comedy club is a bar.
Yeah.
So I look over, there's a bartender. I'm like, I work in bars, you know, my brain here, the go-to, you know, move is like, I don't want to like start a whole fucking fight in this person's business. And he was sort of puffing his chest at me the way a guy does when he's trying to get you to throw the first punch.
Yeah.
So he's legally not culpable for whatever comes after that.
Yeah.
I figured it out pretty quick. And so I was like, oh, you're trying to get me to take a swing at you. I'm not going to do that. And so I started laughing at him. He pushed my friend Louisa. And then I sort of got his face a little bit, and then he spit on me, and then a manager showed up, and I was like, hey, I don't, like, I'm trying to work here. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, start a whole thing in your club. So they asked me to leave, and the guy was kind of a dick about it. So I was like, well, that's weird, but, like, he probably doesn't understand that I didn't start the thing.
No, it's because you were being carceral.
Kill the cop in your head, you know? But anyway, that is just how that went down. And I think that it took him a minute to like re-cajigger everything to work PR wise for his audience, because at first he denied that it ever happened for like a few days. And since then, since I think he's realized he's kind of legally in the clear, it turned into he tried to attack me and I like chickened out or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why he tweeted at me the other day. He's mad at me right now because something that's happening is his main producer for his podcast network is quitting, and I guess the guy decided to go whistleblower on the way out, and he's been talking a lot about how they don't actually make any money, and he wasn't getting paid.
Yeah, and you've been, yeah.
So I started giving him shit over that. It's kind of a no-brainer as a Twitter leftist who hates this person to be very like, easy. Hey, pay your workers, you know? Whatever. It was funny enough to me that day, but then it caused him to flare up. They're kind of like a group of people I can just like poke at any moment and go, oh, okay, I'm gonna get like a lot of, so if I have something to promote, sometimes I'll do it because it just gets the views up or on shit or whatever. But he said that when he confronted me, I was shaking like a girl.
Yeah, I think it was like a woman, even. Like, no, was it a woman or? I'll find out.
A woman.
Not yet, or yeah. No, but like, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's pretty much it.
I just paused on that one. I think someone else had pointed out. I'm sure you thought about it, but then other people start tweeting the thing. I was like, I like Googled it. I was like, wait. Is shaking like a woman like an idiom? Yeah. And I was like, no, it's not. You're the first thing you think about and trembling in fear is a woman.
Yeah, that tells me a lot about the whole rest of your life.
Bringing it back to Steve, make him cry like a woman, no particular. Make him shake like a woman, no particular woman.
Wait, okay. As you were telling them, are you the one who, like, the guy from Wolf Parade has, like, a parasocial thing with you?
I have no idea. Well, I guess I know why. I think he's a Cumtown fan. But I've never met him. And, like, when I... Because, like, those shows have such big reach, and a lot of the people involved in making them, too, are also, like, in that world of podcasters are kind of... It connects into this class of people that are, like, artists in places like New York. I just fucking was looking at Twitter one day and was reading all of my hate mail. And I was like, oh, one of these is the guy from Wolf Parade. That's so funny. And another famous one is the guy from Fun, which is.
Wait, but we are young.
Yeah.
We are young.
So let's set the world on fire.
I had a really good Moombathon remix of that song, but the worst part of it was them singing. Yeah. But yeah, the guy from Fun.
I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day, and she was like, if you ever get in contact with me, I tell him I think that all of the music he produces sounds like an episode of Glee, which I think is really funny, because it does. But, I was closing up the bar I was working at one time a while back, and one of those fucking songs came on, and I was just like, man, I don't even care. This is kind of a dumb pop song that's really fun to listen to drunk, and like, I'm not gonna let this shit ruin it for me.
It's weird having that particular.
I feel like that band has a song that used to come on at a job I had that's like about forcing a woman to marry you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've never had a job, so I never got to listen to Fun.
You never worked in retail.
Yeah.
You just heard Fun sometimes.
Yeah.
It was a weird playlist. Like Transmission by Joy Division came on a lot, but so did that band.
Weird.
Yeah.
I got Michael Rapaport to yell at me, but just because everyone.
Yeah.
He yells at everyone.
What I literally was that a tweet about him that was like, you look like you wake up every morning and die.
I don't think I said that though. Someone else did. But I literally, my friend had retweeted a thing about him like making a YouTube video, like making fun of, I didn't have any face tattoos at the time. Making fun of, like, I don't know, Little Uzi Vert. Like, he was talking shit on SoundCloud rappers with face tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote, like, LOL, old ass man vlogging about, you know, and like, I really literally was just like, shot in the dark, maybe. And of course, Vinny fucking yells at me and he's like, but the two things he told me is because then he was like, you should get your whole fucking grill tattooed. You look like you got hot in the face with a shovel. And I said, you look like an older version of Larry Bird, somehow younger. and then he was like, said something and he was like, oh yeah, well, are you a dude or a chick? I can't even tell. And I was like, you know, like I thought about it. I'm like, I was a dude at the time and I didn't have any face tattoos. And I guess I really like took his criticism and constructive criticism and ran with it, you know?
Wow.
Thanks, Zebrahead. Thanks, I don't It's funny because he got cast on that show that autistic people are mad at on Netflix because it's like poorly represents them.
The Good Doctor?
No. But that's amazing. I don't know what that show is, but I've seen the
Spectrum.
No, it's like it's like Atypical or something. It's like it's like a comedy. It's a comedy about that or Asperger's or I don't know. It's people. People were complaining about it, as they would. And it's like, I was like, oh, you cast him as a dad because he seems like a person that would be very upset having a son that was neurodivergent. Yeah. Like, I was like, he's typecast as a not tolerant father.
He strikes me as a type, like, he would be a father who doesn't understand that the kid is. Like what autism is.
Yeah. What the fuck is that? He's actually a good actor though. Like I don't think he's a bad actor. Anyway.
Yeah, no, of course he is. He's a character actor.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah.
And when you're that extreme of a personality,
everyone can
picture just in your head what Michael Rappaport is doing right now.
Exactly.
Like, he's just that dude.
He's tweeting about hip hop.
Yeah.
He's tweeting about
he's white rapping about how cops are cool somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah.
A lot of those people have a tendency online to go like, I hate this person. Therefore, they're not like a good so and so or whatever. And that's not how it works at all.
Yeah. No.
Great actor.
People can be good at what they do. But yeah, no. And like, people online are cruel and weird. But no, I was just thinking like, it's funny because I saw Luis Gomez do stand up by accident because he was a special guest at this weed infused comedy show that I would never go to. I wasn't sober at the time, and I was with my ex, and their like normie cousin was in town, and my friend was throwing it. It was like $100 party. We just free tickets, free weed, edibles, whatever, meal, and like all the comedians were pretty average. One was like good, and then like they're like, we have a special guest for the night, and then he comes out and just is like. Just like, I'm not even trying to be like, oh, he punched down, but just like 20 minutes of uncomfortable comp. Like, he just started by just making jokes about like people having herpes. And it's like, yeah, people, like, I was just thinking about how many people I love that like have that are plagued by that shit. I'm not like, I am so offended for him. I'm like, wow, if I had herpes, I'd just be having a worse night right now.
Here's the thing about those types of comics, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're having a nuanced response, which kind of boils down to the joke is hacky.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, because you're a fucking edgelord. Like, this, you know, yeah. I get a vibe here. Yeah. You're covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
Making fun
edge
of
edge lady.
No. Sorry.
No.
That actually is the correct feminine. But yeah, the thing is, he's going to do if a person like any of us critiques those jokes as hacky. Is say this person is offended. That's the entire grift.
I know.
And that gets the fan base riled up because it's then it becomes they're trying to stop this from happening.
It kind of, the PC culture.
Yeah.
The PC,
A lot of times, like, I have reasonably thick skin, and when I hear transphobic humor, like, my gripe with it, like, my first gripe with it is like, oh, that's fucking low-hanging fruit. Like, that's just like... cheap as fuck.
So it was funny because then he did a bunch of tranny jokes and he was just like, you know, like the most banal, boring, and like everyone was kind of uncomfortable anyway, and like the one lib chick that was like yelling out stuff the entire time at different sets like didn't say shit to him, and
Probably because he's a POC.
He's a PO something. Also, like, it's funny because before your beef or anything, I was like, you know what? I bet this guy could kick the shit out of me. This is before I got on estrogen, too.
Yeah.
And he can. He definitely can.
He's like an MMA
guy. An MMA guy. Yeah. So, but I had already researched it. I was about to say I would 100% press charges to protect myself and then look at you guys and go, no, I wouldn't. But that doesn't clear me. So he's doing the tranny jokes, but he's doing like really boring, like, you know, I bet you're familiar with bad humor, but no.
Too familiar.
He's doing like... If trans, he's doing the brave, the what is it? fucking stunning and brave, stunning and brave. Like, it's like South Park shit where it's like, oh, that's all they say about trans women is that they're like stunning and they're brave. And like, it's like, if trans people are so brave, why don't they just like, you know, have them on the front lines in the military? And then, you know, did a joke, or didn't say trans people, kept saying trannies. And, but then like and you know, he was doing that joke and it was like, okay, that's like, I see your point, premise, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about what he learned this year in culture. And then like one thing, and then, and like his third thing is like, learn you're not supposed to say trannies. And it was actually really funny. Like, I was like, this is the one funny thing you did is like, you actually like I'll give it to him. I don't think he should be saying it, but it was, I was like, okay, that was actually kind of a, I mean, I was an ally then, so I couldn't have admitted it, but yeah, I feel like when you meet people, like, not meet them halfway, but like, yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take much, right? Like,
yeah,
I think what guys like that don't really understand is that, like, no one's asking you to be perfect. They're asking you to have that moment of self-reflection and move in the, just nudge in the opposite direction that you're
doing
everything.
You know? I just wanted my weed dinner to be over. We were all so stoned. It was at the Tea Factory Lofts. So like, we just were all so stoned in Tony's Pizza afterwards, and like that almost high hungover where it just stops being fun, and we're like all like wow, like the whole comedy thing was pretty fun until this dude just was like, or was like, wow, oh, okay, just looking at the fluorescent lights and cops around us. And
I've done stand up at a couple of like weed venues like that before, like places where they don't even have a bar, and like, I've like long since had to quit smoking weed. It just gives me like bad vibes. But I do hard drugs. It's weird. Like, I've got that formulation going on.
I quit smoking weed years before I quit doing anything else, because it's just like, I would like doom spiral.
Yeah, me too.
I felt bad.
I don't know what that is, but people have it. But
yeah,
the high that weed gives you, though, it doesn't work for a comedy show, I think, because like, you know, booze like loosens you up and stuff. Weed, it makes you vibe really hard. So if someone brings a bad vibe with them and you're stuck in it, the way you're stuck when you're in a stand-up audience where it's like awkward if you get up and leave and shit.
Yeah.
It sucks. I can't imagine, you know?
Yeah. Just being really, really high and all this like moderate, whatever. And then it's just like proud boy adjacent. yeah. I don't know. It was weird, but like, after Milo, they had like Louis CK. That was a big thing. And someone, this is like, We can veer off. No. Oh, if Girl Chat had Louis C.K., that would be sick. They absolutely would. It's like, see, when Girls Chat did that shit, it was like I don't want to get too, not meta, but about podcasts and like whatever. But like, when Girls Chat did that shit, it was like, no, we full on embrace you. Like, fucking, they'll be like, women are stupid, jerk off in front of them, like, you know, like, where like Red Scary will be like make it a like theory, or make it like this, I have way better things to care about, you know, like blah blah blah, it's sad that the peak liberal feminism is complaining about a man sexually assaulting women, you know, but like Girls Chat was just like, no, like,
I don't know, like, overrepresent their intentions as if they're like smart and woke, but it did kind of seem like they were like smart. Trolling.
Oh yeah, they people. Are. Yeah, no. It didn't
feel like platforming them in the same way that like those guys you were talking about, or like.
I mean, honestly, like, I got that. I got a whiff of them. I just heard them years ago, and I caught that, and then they asked me to be on the show, and I was like, they are making fun of me by asking me to come on this show. That's anyone, what this is.
Anyone, yeah.
But if you're aware, it's still fucking funny.
Yeah, you just vibe with it. I mean, one of the funniest things they did is they had Roosh V and like the like, world's biggest misogynist. And he got so self-conscious because they were just talking to him and agreeing with him.
Yeah, he's not used to that.
Yeah, and like, or they had Kathy Brennan on and they played her Tekashi 6ix9ine. You know, like, what's the point of having him on to like fight? But anyway, I just remember, you know, like, I don't know. I hope Ian Miles Chong drops dead, but Alpha Mistress Ashley Olsen was what she was going by at the time, I think. She was like, she just said something where she's talking about like people yelling at her because of Gamergate and Ian Miles Chong, and she's like, I don't give a fuck about Gamergate because my life is so much worse than anybody who knows what Gamergate is. That's funny. I'm going to go use the bathroom real quick. Yeah.
I'm sure y'all can be ready.
Just sit here in silence.
Yeah, that was my plan.
Yeah, just talk. Oh, that would,
let's have a moment of silence.
Let's have a moment of silence.
Are you equally podcast deranged?
What?
What do you mean? From like sitting here or?
I was talking to her.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by podcast deranged?
You know how the internet just melts your brain. Are we filling time or is it going to get cut out?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It varies. Like, I was just reading Gothamist into the mic when Maxell was getting you. okay. Because, like, they're going to start having, robots patrolling Times Square subway station.
I saw that. The R2-D2 guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, fucked up. I'm, like, less podcast deranged than I was when I had a podcast. And also now that I don't promote a podcast online through Twitter,
mm-hmm.
I spend a lot less time in it. And I've never, the most famous person I've ever gotten in a fight with on the internet was like back in the Tumblr days, this like weird, like pro Anna pop punk blogger just like came for me.
Interesting.
Decided I was her enemy because like someone I used to be friends with did something really abysmal.
Weird.
Who I was no longer friends with because of their like atrocious behavior. Okay. That's the most famous person who's ever come for me.
That's good.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it gets way worse than that.
I'm sure.
I've gotten into it with Elon before.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like, he's the richest man in the world. Yeah. You know?
And has just like legions of stans who don't seem real, but they are.
They don't, you know, you never like meet them in real life or anything, but they're somewhere. And they, I think that they're real humans, some of them.
Like, I run in pretty specific circles where you're not likely to encounter someone who thinks he's really cool. But there are, like, a few parts of my life where I brush up against, like, normative culture a lot more. And even there, I've never met someone who's, like, I've met crypto guys. I've never met, like, a Tesla guy in real life.
I think that, like, a lot of them, the pool of people that I would meet them in would be, like, comics. And like specifically, I used to work in a bar where we ran open mics in the bar, and so mm-hmm. you'd talk to guys, but it was almost a thing where like they would only reveal it after they felt safe because they knew that they were surrounded by people who like disagreed with them and right. shit. So that's the about a lot
coming out
as an Elon guy. Yeah,
absolutely.
Something I think about a lot is like Donald Glover. Like, he's one of those people that's like smart and dumb, you know, like Atlanta's really good. And that This Is America video was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And but then I read an interview with him in some magazine, you know, some big 3-page thing with photos and stuff that was like kind of trying to portray his genius. And he was this is back when there was the last presidential race. He was Yang Gang, which is real stupid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said that the person he admires the most is Elon Musk.
Wild.
Yeah. And like, but he has that like grind set mindset type of thing going on. I think those are the people that, you know, live within capitalist realism and don't really understand that there's another way or whatever.
Right.
Those are the people that think, well, that's the entire boundaries of the universe. And this guy's really good at the universe.
And innovation is what is going to save us from like climate catastrophe. And look at the levels this man is thinking on.
Yeah.
He invented shittier trains.
Yeah. And those trucks and shit.
There was this time, I'm just going to tell a story vaguely related to that because of Yang Gang. Mm-hmm. I've maybe told this story on the old podcast before. I accidentally fucked a girl who was Yang Gang, and I only found out like as I was leaving her house.
There were girls that were Yang Gang.
Okay, this story. I'm in Chicago. I'm visiting. We're chatting on Grindr, and she's like, "Yeah, okay, come to my place. Like, I'll meet you at the train stop." And I'm like, riding the train, and it's getting like more and more suburban. It's my first time there. I don't really know Chicago, and I'm like, "Why am I meeting this girl?" Like, out in this like single family suburban neighborhood. And like, we're walking back from the train to her house, and she's like, "Fair warning, I live with my parents." And I was like, "All right. Like, this is going to be interesting." And we get there, and like, she's like explaining a little on the way there, but But we get there, we walk in, her stepdad is watching football on the couch and just kind of grunts at me. And I look and there's a shrine with a folded flag. And it has the like birth and death dates of her sister who was just killed in Afghanistan on it.
Whoa.
And it turns out her sister's been dead like 3 weeks. Her niece is living with them.
Oh my
like her
God.
Sister's kid. And like her mom is helping her niece with homework in the kitchen, and her bedroom's right off the kitchen. And I have this moment where I'm like, am I going to fuck this girl on like the other side of a wall from like her 8-year-old niece who just lost her mother in Afghanistan? And this is like 2019, you know, like, yeah. It was like probably very few.
Wait, why is the time relevant to this?
I just feel like that war was like winding down by then. Like,
yeah,
very
I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
In Afghanistan. So it's like, just
because if it had been 2016, you would just ran through.
Yeah. Well, no, I paused for a second. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to see any of these people again. So I don't give a fuck. Like, she's the one who has to walk out of here and like look her mom in the eye when we're done doing this. So I just do whatever I would normally do, which is like, you know,
yeah.
Humiliating and loud. And then like, just as I'm leaving her room, I notice there's like an Andrew Yang 2020 hat hanging on the door. And I like turn to her and I'm like, you like that guy? And she's like, starts talking at me about universal basic income. And I was like,
all
of the things like that, like your family, like living with your family didn't stop me. The weird shit with like a child with a recently deceased mother didn't stop me. But like, if I'd seen that hat on the way in, I probably would have like thrown the brakes on. But I got an update from a friend that apparently this girl is now like an 8chaner. So took an even darker turn.
Yeah.
I mean, you've like stopped me from, not like stop me, but like I've like not gone on Grindr dates because you're like actually bad idea, not fun, bad idea, you yeah. know, like whatever, like really unstable. All you know, not all kinds of stuff, but we usually run our dates by each other because yeah. we're codependent. And uh-huh. But
speaking of, I got someone anyway.
Oh yeah, no, but yeah. So, but I remember one time it was funny because then there would be times where you're like, this is a really bad idea, but you know, do you like, mm-hmm. and then one time you were like, oh no, that girl's pretty cool. Anyway, I just remember you saying that this woman had a bad take on looting
yeah.
and it just ended for me. Mm-hmm. It was just funny because it could be something way, maybe not if it, I was like, I feel like I could hang out with someone who had a way worse take.
Yeah.
But not someone who's so close to what I believe in, but this one really cringe thing. Like, I feel like I could fuck someone who believes in the death penalty. Like, not date them, but I feel like I could, you know, I don't.
It probably wouldn't come up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I have some pretty fun first date. I could just talk. Like, if I was telling, you know, I'm like, how would it come up?
I mean, I'm
okay. Let's all think how the most realistic way it would come up on your
person. To you, and they're like, "I want you to act like you're strapping me into an electric chair," which, by the way, I believe yeah. is justified in instances. You know?
No, I would bring up I would bring up my friend that not friend my this girl I knew whose husband shot her and her infant child, and he's in they're all Nazis except the child. That was one of the reasons I went to California. I was like, life is too bad and horrible. I need to be in a different city for a while. This girl, Vicky Venom, mm-hmm. I was friends with her, but she went off and married. She was a Nazi, yeah. married a Nazi. Yeah, and killed her and her child and ran away. And he's in prison. He's facing the death penalty. I was like, I should have just went with your story about the electric chair play.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like, you know, just... you know, and I say like, hey, Michael Parrish, well, he converted to Islam, which is really an interesting trajectory for, mm-hmm. for a Nazi in prison in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He thought that it was Hindu and the swastika was the tattoos.
He was like, yeah. yeah. So that's a little fun pick me up story, mm-hmm. but, no, I could reasonably see myself somehow having enough ADHD that I would be like telling that on a date, and would have just started by like, I don't know, something about like a paintball gun, because she got shot in the face with a paintball gun when she was younger and she had a lawsuit and won all this money. Mm-hmm. But I just could see myself accidentally talking about a husband murdering his wife and child because someone mentioned paintball guns, and then that coming to the death penalty. I don't know why I should text that woman all of this.
I think the looting thing is, like, not only is it bound up in all of the same, like, extreme, like, weird racist tropes as, like, supporting the death penalty and everything being anti-looting, but it's just, like, not cool to be anti, like, looting it's is fucking
unsexy.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, but this was more like a white agitator Antifa thing. Right, it was all being incited by.
Yeah.
Antifa, right. Yeah.
Which again, there's like all sorts of stuff implicit in that, but
yeah. You just follow the.
Yeah. I don't even remember who that was.
I don't either, but yeah, no, I love that idea that it was just like everyone just like Antifa was like convincing everyone. It's like, yeah, I'm sure all the, you know, people of color coming out right now really just like trust a white skinny white dudes in like all black that are like, let's fucking go, you know?
There's also like 900 of those people. Yeah, like how are they orchestrating this?
Exactly.
The other thing that drove me crazy about that is like the entire country was rioting.
Yeah.
So why would everyone be from a different state if all of their home states are?
Yeah,
also
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Good. It's funny because people were talking about like, I don't know, some video of like some white kids stealing Lego Star Wars things. That was like a news clip that everyone was using as like, this is excessive. This is like
Legos, right?
Yeah, Lego Death Stars. And it's funny because my friend actually did that. He wasn't on it, but he was, he's someone who had never really gone to, he'd never been in any kind of political protest or anything. And I think he thought I was way more political than I was. And I am like, or like when it comes to organizing or doing things.
Sure.
So he was just like, can you take me to one of these? And then he was kind of, he was kind of drunk and like, he's definitely goes in bipolar moods, but can be applied. He was applying it for good, but he was just like, I don't want to center myself. I know I'm just like, I'm a white dude. I don't want to make people in danger, but when it's time for violence, can you just like, let me know? Like, he was like, literally, can you just tell me, you as a trans woman, like, can you just tell me when it's okay? And then finally we got to, you know, we were walking around in the streets and there was like, it was not an organized thing and just saw a bunch of skaters and everyone was going at it. I was like, go off, have fun. And he got, this is the funny things, because he got like 4 Lego Death Stars. But so, and then he was walking through Chelsea and there's some like, meth addicted individuals fit sell stuff right around like 23rd, you know, and he just kind of was like, hey, do you want these Lego Death Stars? And I was like, that's so cool. Like people should do that on a daily, just like, but anyway,
I was talking to these kids a while back about like 2020 and just trading stories like that. And they told me that something that happened to them is it's a bunch of punk kids, you know, they went into Manhattan and apparently a bunch of guardian angels had decided to guard a Foot Locker because they just like assumed.
Yeah. Oh, they're like sneaker. Yeah. Yeah.
They assumed for those reasons.
Yeah.
The Foot Locker was going to get looted. And then instead of who they thought was going to come, a bunch of punk kids rolled up and just got into a street fight with a bunch of 78-year-old guardian angels. And they said after it was over, some homeless dude walked by with a shopping cart and did just take a bunch of shit.
The Nike store had, the Nike store was securityed up enough that we didn't, like, we collectively, the group of like 300 people was like, let's not, we're not doing this. Yeah. Like we were probably strapped and just big bouncer looking.
Yeah.
Anyway,
one of my favorite Oakland memories from when I lived there is, it was a Foot Locker getting looted. And people standing out front.
Was this political or just Friday?
A little column A, a little column B in Oakland.
I mean, right? It all is political. Yeah. It's all good.
But there's like a dude standing out front, like on top of something, just holding up boxes and being like, who's a size 12? Like trying to distribute the looted sneakers in an organized way.
Would either of you like anything from the vending machine?
Can I get a seltzer?
Yeah, do you like anything?
I'm quite all right, thank you.
Okay, cool. Are you good to keep going a little longer?
Good. Yeah, I'm just going to leave at like 6:30.
Okay, we had till 6, and I was like, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, no, I'm having a nice time.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Jake, you reunited my podcast, except Lewis was gonna do it, but it's Yom Kippur, so God's slightly more important than hanging out with us Gentiles.
Lewis Gomez?
No, yeah. you know what I think I sent you? Like, I type really sloppy. I think one time I was like, we were talking on Dysphoria Dimes, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, one, I was trying to say, like, hey, where do you bartend? I'd love to come get a drink. But I also was like, when we were talking about podcasting, I'm like, yeah, I just got to check with Lewis what's up. And you're like, wait, what the fuck are you talking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I apologize. And then I deleted it. I know, but then I deleted it so Molly didn't see it and be like, yo, this bitch ruined our chance to get someone on the show. funny thing, our co-host Lewis wanted to name our podcast the Jake Flores Show. I said that would get confusing and probably make you feel uncomfortable. This was before we had any following, too, so it was just...
Would have just been a way to get people. It would have been like the Nirvana covering Enter Sandman thing. If we named it the Jake Flores Show.
But people would download it on LimeWire. Yeah. And,
on Kazaa. not gonna lie, it would have weirded me out.
I know, but that's why I said no. I actually was like, I mean, we couldn't think of a name. It was funny because I introduced Molly and Lewis. Like, they had met briefly before. Originally, we just wanted a Zoomer correspondent, and then Lewis was like, I want to do the podcast, and then I was worried Molly was mad. Zoomer. What?
He doesn't think he's a Zoomer.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But I was worried Molly was going to be mad at me for just, like, adding someone, ruining our girl boss team. And I really just wanted to monetize, not like I made much money, but, like, potentially monetize off how funny the two of you were. So, anyway, we, like, got there and we were, like, riffing nonstop, and it was pretty fucking fun and, like, whatever. But then
that poor woman was with us, right?
Wait, no.
That was another time that, like,
I was like, do you mean Leo? Because that's fucked up.
Oh, that time.
Yeah, no, Jesus Christ, I was kidding, dude. No.
You had just shown him the episode of Strangers with Candy that I won't reference on mic.
It's funny that I was watching that in a hotel with Flo, and... I'll just like show it to people because it's, you know what episode we're talking about. Strangers.
I know the show.
The gay and the R word episode. Oh, yeah. No. Who Wants Cake? That's how the Girls Chat episode was named after it.
Oh.
They say the R word so much and it's so overkill and it's like so. It's a weird one because at first you're like, this is so edgy. But then by the end, you're like, this was perfectly acceptable and it honestly shouldn't be. Like,
yeah. No.
But also I laughed a bunch. But there was this point where Stephen Colbert is just like talking about how, like, if you enrage someone, they'll go into like a fucking attack mode. And like, and this girl just looks at me and is like, I think it's pretty weird that your generation just had this like... She wasn't even talking about like using slurs. She was like, just had this accepted idea that these people were like had like extra strength.
I mean, there was the band.
Yeah, our word strength.
Yes, I saw them at 538 a million years.
Wait,
ago.
They played 538.
Yeah,
wow, 538. Yeah, that
because they were South Jersey kids, if I remember.
Oh, was that name South Jersey? Wait, you wanted
South Jersey. Okay, cool. Yeah.
That's my apartment, 538.
Do you still live there?
Huh?
Nothing for you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you still live there?
We're getting kicked out at the end of the week.
Yeah.
That's why
you're
I can.
The last ones hanging on, though, then.
Yep. Right? No, there's like one or two people. Mm-hmm. On our floor, it's everyone pretty much got like evicted. I think there's one person that's like staying, but it's like not even a good deal.
Yeah.
Like, and then there's the fourth floor, but the fourth floor is not the 538 that everyone knows from shows and shit. I've lived there for 10 years and I've never been able to talk about it on podcasts because I have like stalkers and shit.
Right.
So this is all new. But yeah, we're getting kicked out. I got bought out. So it's
okay.
Chill.
That's pretty good because my other friends did not really get their buyout. Wound up
like it got eaten by the shit that they got charged. Exactly. Yeah, that happened to a lot of people.
Yeah. One of them took a video just walking around there, and the inside is fucking wild now.
It sucks now. It's all just like
looks like a co-working space.
Yeah, and it's all everyone's shit got turned into art studios, mm-hmm. so it's all just like wine and cheese gallery shit mm-hmm. happening, and like so because art studios, the reason they wanted to get everyone out is because they want to convert all of the lofts into studios mm-hmm. because studios are easier for a landlord to like keep take right. care of because there's less amenities. You don't have to pay for like
right.
For instance a bathroom. Know about bathrooms. So someone's
tenants don't have fucking rights either.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like if they can, they can't call 311 and be like the heat is out.
Yeah. The but that one of the because studios don't have like bathrooms in them, they had to turn someone's apartment into a fucking public restroom. So somebody's entire life from living in the coolest fucking place on earth is just now like a men's room.
You lose a home that like you've probably either been in or has been changing hands for like close to 20 years and now it's just urinals.
Yeah, it sucks. It's so sad.
I just got evicted.
Damn.
Yeah, I've been there 4.5 years. Which is longer than I'd lived anywhere since I was like a child.
Yeah. That sucks. I'm so sorry to hear.
That's okay. It was funny because they expected me to keep paying rent once they'd given me notice and seemed really upset about that. But like once you're evicting me, aside from like small claims court, which is going to be a hassle.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. And he kept like threatening to evict me sooner. And I would just be like, this is a pointless conversation. Like, please stop texting me. I'm just never going
to
pay you.
Yeah, no, it's like trying to divide zero or something. Like,
yeah.
There's no they don't have any leverage at that point. You're a fool if you pay someone that's already evicting you.
Right. What did you fucking expect? Also, you're going to kick me out and rent this place for twice what I'm paying. Just like.
Yeah, they're going to make all that money back.
Yeah, easily. Also, they had bed bugs, so the whole building just still has those.
Man,
yeah,
God, I had those like 15 years ago.
It was
the worst. I've ever had them in New York, and I've like here in Texas, the poison they used to kill them here is not legal, so it was like extra weird.
Oh, wow,
really hard to get rid of.
Yeah,
we ended up having to. The way we got rid of them at my apartment in Texas was. There is a mechanism in an electric oven that is in your apartment that, like, when you tell it the number of degrees to turn to, mm-hmm. it makes it stop when it gets to 400 or whatever. If you take that mechanism off and you open the door, you can cook your entire apartment.
Yep. You can just, you can do that. You can put all your shit in a box truck on a hot day, but, like, you can like use the clean function and break the lock off.
Yeah.
And it will make your apartment 125 degrees.
Yeah, that's what we had to do.
Ours, like, we got it treated and they went away for a while, but the landlord refused to get his unit downstairs treated, so they just kept fucking coming back. And I'm like, you want to live with bed bugs?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Gross.
But it's over now. I don't live there.
Oh, damn. That sucks, though.
Do you know where you're going? You're leaving New York, maybe.
I'm going to LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to be with my girlfriend
who
I met on the road.
You didn't have seltzer. I got you ginger ale. Nice. It's okay if you don't want it.
Yeah. Do you know where in LA at?
I'm gonna crash at her place and then start looking for a studio from there because she lives with, like, a bunch of people and shit, and I've lived in a punk house for 10 years, so I'm like. I've been fantasizing about like getting a small shitty studio, you know,
just living
alone for a minute.
Yeah.
I went from my $700, originally $400, then upgraded to a slightly nicer room, right off Myrtle Broadway, like right on that little diagonal street, Ditmars.
Oh, Bushwick Times Square.
Yeah. Bushwick Times Square in the '80s.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know that. That's why would I say no? Yeah, Times Square is actually kind of rugged right now. It's interesting.
Times Square?
Yeah.
That's why they got that robot.
There's just always people just doing weird crime, you know? Like St. Mark's Place, I feel like there's just...
Well, I feel like Essex, Delancey, of all of the, like, little zones is like the most time warp weird crime one. Like someone I know got their fucking pocket slashed there.
Oh, I used to work down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Well, that's like catty corner to Dime Square now.
Oh, yeah. So where I first not where I first met. Someone who I used to be friends with when I used to have a lot like scary graffiti writer type friends was talking about being in that area, like Delancey and Allen, because he was like, I want to come visit you in San Francisco, but like I just caught a felony. And I was like, oh. And he's like, I was like, what happened? He's like, so this is the response. He's like, yo, so I was on Delancey and I was feeling kind of saucy. And I was like, how did you catch a felony? You started feeling saucy. And I guess like some dude was fucking around with his phone and he just snapped it out of his hand. And then the dude started running and they started running. And then like the dude fell and got himself hurt. And he got, but I just will forever remember that the answer to that question.
Saucy.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, y'all were just talking about leaving New York.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks. I don't know. It's sad. I love New York.
I feel like you'll be able to get here sometimes.
I'm
I feel like you know,
to,
you know here. People
they
here.
Got direct flights between them, too.
I'm trying to become bi-coastal.
Yeah. Oh, that's
the dream. I'm spending, and I've done this before, I'm spending January in L.A.
Oh, okay, because I'm coming out
I'm
there.
I'm just going to be bi-coastal as much as possible.
I'm coming out there I don't know, fairly soon. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend said I could couch crash, so
yeah, that's probably the couch that I'll be freshly moved off of.
Oh, cool.
Damn, well, all right, well, let's kick it.
Yeah, no, I don't know when I'd actually be out. I probably would just get a room to stay in, so I'm not, but
no, couch not crash.
I like having a little place I can go.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, I like how Twitter just makes you sex worker adjacent.
Yeah,
it's just like if you're cool, you're just gonna have a bunch of sex worker friends. Like,
yeah,
I guess being cool makes you sex worker adjacent.
That's true.
Yeah, that's like a real life rule.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like Twitter is like kind of democratized and unstigmatized a bunch of shit in a way where like you probably will end up knowing sex workers from it and people that weren't sex workers before.
Yeah,
OnlyFans and stuff like that, and also like the communism shit, you know, like somebody tweeted a few years ago, like I got on here to write a cookbook and now I'm a fucking Marxist Leninist or whatever. Like
that's,
I think that kind of broke in a way that couldn't have through traditional culture.
Yeah. Definitely. So I've been on Twitter. I had one in like 2010 when they would still send you like text messages when you got a new tweet or whatever. And
my
like,
first familiarity with Twitter was, using it, like subscribing to a Twitter to get text messages about where to fucking go for these two events that were like pandemonium and catastrophe that like these people who were like situationists put them out on the internet and built up a bunch of buzz and was like, everybody come dressed like a panda, and then use the fact that everyone was dressed like a panda to mask property destruction and rioting.
Whoa.
It was a great idea, but like, if you were, you know, they would fucking blast it via their Twitter.
Did
like
you
it was
know,
just a mass distribution system.
Did you know that SantaCon was one of those?
Yeah, that's how SantaCon started.
Yeah. Crazy.
Damn.
Yeah. It was fun as hell. It was very funny to watch the people who showed up expecting an improv everywhere thing like scatter when the McDonald's window got shattered.
That rules. Oh, that tickled me.
Yeah. It's when, so like I did Twitter for like 5 years or whatever. And I joke about how like if I don't get good at things pretty quickly, I quit them. Like besides drinking and doing drugs, which I even gave a second chance and failed at. and then like that one stupid meme of me got me more followers. And I know it's just how Twitter works. Like sometimes and it's just funny because it's like where now I tweet, I'll just write, I don't like cops to see how many. It's bad. It's like, I'm just like, and I know it's like, I don't even have a big account, but it's just like where I wanted to be or needed to be that other people start like paying that my shit starts doing some numbers if people like it. was just because someone else made a meme of me once.
And, like, used it to dunk on Steven Universe fans.
Yeah, and oh, those people funny. Are vicious claws out people.
If you get a bunch of followers on Twitter, you have to immediately say extreme political shit in order to cleanse the the wave right. that you just got.
Oh, God.
Well, my...
And you need dysphoria to be trans. All caps. It's true, but... Sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
My moment where I got off of Twitter the first time was, and this actually happened to you in a serious, I made a post where I maybe joked that I was going to give material support to terrorism.
Sure, yeah.
And it started doing numbers. Yeah. And I was like, this is a bad, it was like, it was when Biden was like appointing people before he like took office. And I was like, if Mayor Pete gets Secretary of Transportation, I'm going to make shirts that say out of the closet and into the cabinet and give all of the proceeds to terrorists.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah. And I was like, I got to get really, like, I'm just going to get myself fucking raided.
It could happen.
It could, yes.
Happen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
They came to 538.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was an amazing joke. Oh, yeah. Fuck. I actually, like, I said something about Trump getting shot or something. And I didn't, it was so innocuous because I don't even, like, spend my time being angry at Trump.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, obviously fuck him. Oh, I did this, like, fuck him, I hope he gets shot, like,
yeah.
But it was a lot, and I was like, oh wait, I really shouldn't say that.
You have to buy Twitter Blue to edit that and not get government. I mean, like, I feel like leftists don't think about Trump that much because it's like,
because it's a given.
It's a given. You're not fucking with anybody that's on the fence about Trump.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like cancer or something.
All the important shit politically for people like us is to talk about the nuance within the fucking lib left, if there is, even is any.
I'm guessing you don't ever use NGL, that stupid app.
Non-government organization.
No. The anonymous app or whatever from anonymous messages. Because anonymous people just call you gay all the time.
Like anonymous, the Guy Fox mask?
No. It's like, you know, you just get like things like that and you post it on Twitter.
Oh, that. Yeah. Oh, the answer. No, I've never really had that itch. Really,
yeah, I don't see why. Yeah.
I think, like, I've already. Yeah. That is getting out.
That seems like just like just get more. But so I've been doing that, like just bored with my collaboration with Fag Talk, my girlfriend and her girlfriend's podcast. You met my girlfriend Marcy really briefly at the thing, but so originally they didn't say it, but now they do, and it's in this little thing. It says sent from the NGL team with love. So if you're not actually getting, if people aren't actually messaging you, they just send you messages.
Oh, weird.
That's because sad. Like, and some people like, yeah, no, like,
and then you see someone posting those and you know,
yeah,
like, talking to a robot.
Or yeah, it's like, okay, hold on. But any pets, that's fine, whatever. But like, what's UR orientation?
That's from the robot?
Yeah, from the robot.
That's a little weird.
What's the last time you lied? Folks, just, so I'm like, what's the last time I lied? I'm
sent from the FBI.
Not saying, yeah. I was like, it's like, yeah, like
probably to my dad. I just feel like that's the person I lie most.
This one, yo, stop leaving me on red.
That's funny.
That's
wait, that's the robot.
It's a robot.
That's weird.
It's really, it's devious.
I guess it would be very sad to sign up for that and then not get any questions. It probably happens to people.
Sometimes it happens to me. Are you straight?
That's fucked up.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. Y'all don't have to answer these. No. But I'm just going through some questions. See, maybe I can get some insight.
I do watch Game of Thrones.
Okay, cool.
I did.
Same.
You're gay. I
watch. So weirdly, my ex sent me a photograph of you, not because it was you, but because you were wearing a Choking Victim Spice Girl shirt. I guess she bummed a cigarette off of you outside of the Philly show.
That's crazy. Outside the Philly show. Yeah, okay, that's less crazy.
And she says hello and told me to compliment your shirt again.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the compliment. I remember this person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shirt was a big hit.
Yeah. It's a good shirt.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
good. Your roommate sent one that said riding of a several months high. Riding the several months long high from being called hot by you. Thanks, Liana.
Oh yeah, I love Liana.
Yeah,
she went on a date last night with the ex who I'm having a friend breakup with right now.
Oh, wait.
So that's going to be
interesting. Fun.
Yeah.
It's weird that you're out of Ridgewood now. Like, we're in different leagues.
No, and different grinder rooms.
Yeah.
Like, we just get different people on the grid.
Let's put your grid up right now. No. Be the same, but... Oh, did I send you the, wait, you should be able to leave.
Like crazy.
Cut
that out.
Hold on. Do you have the info?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if anything, just text me. All right. If you can't get in. Cool. So back. This is a weird studio.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is this where, like, I always wonder, like, in cities that are really centralized and compressed like this, like, is this where you go to practice if you're a drummer?
I think there's like a few practice spaces around still, but I think you can do that here. Like, I know people whose bands practice at Pirate.
I just don't know how the fuck you would do that if you like lived in New York City, like to learn, you know what I mean? To play a lot.
People have like, people share studios. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like they split like a $600 a month studio with like eight people or like,
yeah,
because my friend actually does that. Like, she just goes to drum, which actually seems like a very cathartic.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
So I'm going through these questions that were asked for Maggie and Marcy.
Yeah.
You know, just get a second round because we all have really bad opinions. How many trans girls do you have to sleep with to become a chaser, or is it a state of mind?
State of mind. There are chasers who will never, ever, ever fuck a trans woman.
That's actually, yeah. There's the whole Pepe Le Pew thing before he got canceled.
That's a Pepe Le Pew
thing? No, because he's always trying to rape that cat.
Oh, right.
Because he thinks... Well, no, because he actually...
He's not a chaser.
In this analogy, he thinks the cat is cis, so thank God he got canceled, because that does not go well.
Right.
Once that little stripe gets like...
panic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. Just, I had been trying to work that trans panic joke for so long.
Well,
when he was canceled on Twitter, when Pepe Le Pew was canceled on Twitter.
I didn't know that actually happened.
Oh, it was a thing that happened. Space Jam. And then it was just funnier because then, like, all these right-wing people had to, like, care about Pepe Le Pew, you know?
The cartoon.
Had to care about Space Jam. And, like, the left, not the, like, left.
Punisher Pepe the Pew head on your
car or whatever. Yeah, and not the left politically, but the left on, like, a social level had already made Space Jam annoying.
Yeah.
Like, just, like.
It's a millennial joke.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. It was a weird movie.
It is a weird movie.
It's like, you know how, like, in The Matrix, which is not a trans allegory, Neo is Jesus? That's loaded. It's basically like that with Michael Jordan. Like, he comes and he saves them all.
Yeah, and then he's crucified for it.
Right, at the end. And it was like a big excuse to, like, address the fact that he tried to play baseball for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
That's how, like, the movie starts, is he's on the baseball team. So he was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Let me have a movie so I can show that I'm a good sport about it.
Is Space Jam a trans allegory?
Yes.
I mean, don't a bunch of basketball players, like, get absorbed into those space creatures?
Wait, they are.
And then they have their skills. It's like
they take hormones.
They in order to cheat at sports because so Space Jam trans allegory. Right.
No, but this is like Milton's like interpretation of the Bible, where in Paradise Lost everything is backwards and the devil is good and God is bad. In Space Jam, the Monstars are the heroes of the film,
because
the intellectual property of Warner Brothers are the right wing fascists.
So I was trying to try and flesh this out, but it just drove me crazy. I was trying to make a new Crash. Not the cool movie, the bad movie.
I've never seen the bad one.
Oh.
Only good Crash for me.
It's the most racist movie that's supposed to be about not racism.
accidentally racist movie.
It's just like, yeah. Intent. I feel like they were unaware that they were being intentionally racist.
Sure. I was referring to the country song.
Oh, okay. Concept. Oh, accidentally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, what happens in that? He goes to a Starbucks and like says the N-word and demands his cup is like Hitler. And
yeah. And then there's like a Tim McGraw verse or something. I can't remember.
Is this a real thing?
Wait, the accidental racist? It's yeah. Who is it? It's what rapper is it?
I can't remember.
Hold it's on. Hold on.
Rapper and a country guy or something.
Hold on. This is what I love about this is a lot of this is millennials looking on their phone. That's like a lot of what my podcast is.
And it's funny that that's like entertainment for our generation, though.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, that Space Jam allegory, accidental racist. Well, yeah, it's like the best was I was playing a recording of a former podcast on the mic.
I wish I could say I haven't done that.
Yeah, Brad Paisley. Wait, is there a remix?
Oh, I was thinking of something else. Well, I mashed two things together.
Oh, yeah, no. Damn, what are we thinking about, though?
The country, like, R&B type mashup thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different song.
Well, there's a rapper in Accidental Race. Wait. Damn, I'm trying to think, is it... What's fucked up is then if I guess and it's just completely the wrong rapper, that's
okay.
Kind of accidentally racist.
Oh man, that's meta.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, who the fuck?
Rapper racist country song. That's not going to get it.
No, because there's that guy.
Who? The accidental racist?
No, there's like that one specific like alt-right rapper.
But he's not country.
Oh, a fucking LL Cool J is the one that's on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh. That's who I was going to say. But I'm glad that I, yeah. Yeah. People were mad at LL Cool J.
You can't be wrong when you are trying to guess a rapper because you immediately land in racist land.
Yeah. I was trying to make a Crash movie, and all I have so far is that a woman who's in some kind of perilous situation gets saved, and it turns out the EMT is a trans woman who stole her sports scholarship. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Let's make it.
Yeah. Oh. God,
I mean, without those broad shoulders, she couldn't have performed CPR so effectively. Like, the compressions are the important part.
Well, isn't that show that that Tony Boswell was obsessed with, Rescue 911, was like this, like, do you know about this show? Yeah. I think it's called Rescue 911. Tony did a whole mini series on this. It's like a lib cop fire department EMT show. Mm-hmm. So there's like a trans dude in it. And then like the team is super diverse and Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, and he plays the transplant head of fire department who moved from New York to
Austin, right? Yeah. To keep it weird.
Yeah.
To keep it weird by having a trans man.
I did an episode of that show, and it's bananas, man.
Yeah. But, like, lib fantasy TV is...
It's like, yeah.
It starts out as a joke, and then it's just skin crawling. Then you're the joke.
It's like kind of mid-level network TV shit. If you're watching it, like, to gawk at it, it's, like, hilarious. But I'm assuming the implications here are that there's just, like, millions of people that think him having a cool moment with his, with his trans firefighter and his episode about someone being Muslim or whatever. Like, it's just excellent storytelling. There's like a thing that went viral from that show where he's doing CPR on a frozen body and his hands just go break through the chest cavity.
Oh my God. See, that's like good writing.
Liquid nitrogen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Terminator. Oh man, it's fucking funny.
So Chaser is a state of mind.
Yeah.
I actually got into, you haven't met Maggie, right? No. So my girlfriend's girlfriend and I like to argue, which is like really fucking loaded.
Sure.
Because you realize like we have a great relationship. We love each other. But it's like maybe we shouldn't be doing this for sport when we share a girlfriend. In the same way, she's a total sub and I'm a total dom. And I was like, once I started date I was dating Marcy. I was like, I don't know if I can like boss you around and abuse you. Cause
oh yeah.
It's, there's a weird,
you can't do that when you know somebody likes it.
Yeah, no, no, I'm all for that, obviously.
Well, I mean,
no,
when it's like no, not someone yeah, that you want to.
No, 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 I just mean because she's my girlfriend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So like, even though I don't resent her or anything, just like any weird undertone of, yeah.
Forgive me from pride.
Oh, no, pride.
Is this like a Hinge situation?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha. So it's like, so it's, yeah.
I also have one of those.
Oh, are you the Hinge or the?
It's me and Emily are both dating Violet separately.
Okay.
We all hang out, but I'm yeah, not dating Emily.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like that situation. So like, even though I would net one, like if I'm like, if I'm like doming someone or something, if I'm remotely annoyed with them, like I won't do any, like not even like before we hook up, I'm just like, we're actually not going to do anything crazy tonight because you kind of just piss me off and I can't have that in the back of my head. You know, we've talked about this.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah. But in general, I'm like, I don't know. I don't feels like very, I just like, I'm too under a microscope because now it's my girlfriend's girlfriend who wants me yeah, to treat her like shit. But they do, they both love to be treated like shit. And they treat, the first time she slept over, a second time, I said like, hey, like make a list of bad things I should do to your girlfriend. Like they both made a list of, like mean things I should do. Uh-huh. I was like, whoever wins, I don't know, loses. But like they both like, it was like, make her sit in the corner and watch a TV show while you hold me. It was like really fucking brutal. I had not thought of that. It's a level of, I was like, I don't know if I can do that. That's it's like when I was hanging out with Liana, your lovely roommate, and I asked her what her, like something about hard limits or so, and she just goes, no anti-Semitism and don't cut my hair. And I wasn't wow, thinking of either of those things.
Yeah.
But it meant that she had really thought about it and made me kind of comfortable. Mm-hmm. I was like, I never actually heard of anti-Semitism in anybody's limits, but because I never thought I would approach that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That feels like if that was something in your back pocket to pull out to begin with, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. Well, she told me that someone threatened to cut her hair and she was like, fucking do it. And then they had to back down. I would definitely back down from that. I'm not cutting a trans girl's hair.
Bleep the name, but I should have shaved head. She would have loved it and then hated it, and I would have felt bad.
Yeah, so you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
205.
The ultimate doming someone would be like, give them bangs.
Just give them shitty bangs.
Yeah. Oh.
What if it's a great haircut? And it backfires.
It's just like, just take him. Yeah.
You're like, damn, I look good.
No, you just like make him go to like that barber shop on St. Mark's. You know what I'm talking about? The Astor Place one, and just like get a full, I'm sleepy. Get a full. Have you ever seen that video?
You drink 9 cans, I know, of various liquids.
I know. I'm not actually, I think I just didn't take my Concerta today, or I just needed something to say because I was getting bad at talking. So I was like, I'm sleepy. I used to just say I'm high. I used to always be like, sorry, I'm high. And yeah, I wouldn't even necessarily be high. I was just wanted an excuse to be stupid.
That is still something you say when your brain just runs out.
Yeah. Shit. But you can't do that with. You can do. I should just, when I'm talking too much, be like, sorry, I'm on coke.
Yeah.
I have no excuse.
I don't either. Nothing but just lie. I used to do that. There was an SNL skit about it later, which annoyed me. But if I was so self-conscious, and if I had to take a shit at the bar I was working at, it was like a nightclub too. Mm-hmm. I would like come out of the bathroom like that. Cause I was like, I don't know.
It's way more socially acceptable to have gone and done coke
than to have taken a shit at the nightclub.
Yeah, yeah, which is a thing that everyone has to do. It's
I would have to get the security to escort me to the front of the line because some dude would be like ready to like punch me out over like cutting.
Yeah.
Has there been a memorable light bulb in your life? Someone asked this and I was like, oh, this is an obtuse question, but I actually was like, I actually started thinking about it.
The one you smoke the most meth out of.
It's not a specific light bulb, but I have a friend who every year on his birthday smokes crack out of a light bulb in San Francisco Chinatown. That's like his once a year smoke crack.
Does he have like a fairly healthy relationship with drugs?
He doesn't really smoke crack otherwise. Yeah, yeah. He used to, but like he just once a year gives himself that gift, always out of a light bulb. So that's like my memorable light bulb is whatever light bulb he smokes crack out of on his birthday.
Do you have a memorable light bulb?
No.
Yeah.
That's a crazy ass question.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's funny because I get so many stupid ones, but like that was, I was like, it was being abstract, but I was like, this is far from the worst.
There was a room at one point. There's a Santa Claus plastic lawn ornament that you put a light inside of on your front lawn, and I used it to light up my room for a short second. That was kind of fun. Didn't really work.
Yeah. I didn't even think about smoking crack out of a light bulb or meth. Damn, I was like, one just said biggest red flags, but that was sent from the app.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like, oh, someone I know who's really nice, but I know they have had drama. They've had like a long-standing drama in their, pardon me, home city. And I don't know what the drama is, but they got one of these and it was definitely one of this, but it said, I know what you did.
Jesus.
And they went off like, that was 6 years ago. Okay. Like, and I was like, this is going to have someone go fucking crazy.
That's the fucking robot.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Wow, people ask dumb questions.
See, this is like a Mitch Hedberg one line thing occurred to me. But do you think the guy who came up with the idea to smoke crack out of a light bulb got a light bulb above his head?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's
fucking
dumb. I mean, you have two. Damn, RIP to Mitch.
Yeah.
It's so weird how, like, all these, like, stoner icons are actually doing heroin.
Yeah.
Bradley Knoll, Mitch Hedberg, Jason Mewes. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not that weird, but it's like, well, it's actually because heroin addicts always come up with the worst lies. Yeah. It's like, no, I was actually smoking weed. Someone once said that they were like, they snorted heroin off the prep kitchen at Champs Junior when that was still around.
Mm-hmm.
And, my friend who was like 18 years old at the time and not the manager called me. Cause he's like, yo, I had to send redacted home. I feel kind of guilty. And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, he snorted heroin off the prep station. And I asked him what he was doing. And he said, dude, I'm just rolling a joint. And it was just funny because
like
my 18-year-old friend was like so felt so guilty because he's like, I'm not actually allowed to do it. But I just told him he had to go home because we had to cook and like.
I mean, but if that was today, what would wind up happening is like your vegan disco fries are cross contaminated with fentanyl.
Jesus.
It's true.
Yeah, that's could be worse.
That's what makes them disco fries.
Yeah. Fentanyl at the disco. Panic at the disco. Just word association at this point. So we got like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, excuse like really boring, stupid Twitter, Jake, your gays. Anyone in this room, like, what's the weirdest or wildest rumor that you heard about yourself that wasn't true and not like super malicious?
Jesus, there's so many.
Okay.
Or
an interesting one you feel like talking about.
God, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like there's a really good answer to this question if I dig in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But the problem is the people that hate me are just like comedy fans of a few shows. So they just do the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I was like, well, what about one that's like pro you? I'm saying it doesn't have to be a slanderous one. It could just be someone getting a story wrong or be like, no, man, you made that jump shot, bro. You know? I don't know why I went to jump shot. Maybe it's Space Jam.
I don't know. I mean, like every once in a while, the thing is, these people are comedy fans, so they like have this weird code they live by where if you make them laugh, they have to admit it's a good joke.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I've like, seen that.
Like, one time, I said something and Gomez said, oh, Flores has finally exposed himself as a liar. And because he had just had Louis C.K. on his comedy festival, I said, if I had exposed myself, I'd be headlining your comedy festival. And then he was like, all right, that's a pretty good one. That's, yeah. It's funny. Every once in a while, we have this weird, like, detente where we just sort of like, you know,
yeah,
cross swords like that or whatever.
That's, yeah, arch, like, you know, that's old nemesis is, except, like, no, you have no respect for it. Yeah.
I fucking hate the person, but this is what, like, comics fighting.
I think it was Dasha or somebody where you just were like, we're like Jake Flores, like, in, like do harassing two females, like blah, blah, blah. And you're like, if I was harassing two women, you'd say I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, and it's funny. Cause then people hate those girls so much. It's like a personality for people, which I find really grating too. Cause I just rather like not listen or talk or, you know, think about them. But like,
yeah.
That there's like a whole market for just dunking on
that. Yeah, I mean, that kind of, that's like part of like what's fueling that whole phenomenon.
It's one of the funniest fucking, like, yeah. just
yeah, it's something with like people getting famous in this niche internet way right now. Is it part of the audience is people that hate you because it all press is good press or whatever. But that's also sad if that's your whole life is like kind of caping against some person you've never met. I mean,
it's just
I remember there was like one specific woman whose like whole thing was that she hated Chapo.
Yeah, I remember that woman.
She was like Antifa super soul. I think her name is Gwen something.
Yeah, Gwen Snyder.
The funniest post she ever made was in like April of 2020, posting that their Patreon contributions had gone down and being like, yes, it's working. The tide is finally turning. And everyone is like, no, everyone got fucking fired from their job and had to cancel their Patreon.
Yeah.
But I was like, why are you at like the height of like a fucking global pandemic, like tracking fucking Chapo's Patreon contributions?
Yeah, just fucking do something else.
Anything else.
Or do something interesting with that, but that's just like dumb. And
Hazel just had a good tweet about how everyone feels like they need to preface saying that they hope Matt Crispin gets better by saying that they haven't listened to Chapo in years. It's such a weird fucking, like, not hill to die on, because that's not even it, but just like way to assert you're not a certain type of person.
It makes it like for a moment when you have a thought like that run through your brain or you see people doing it, it just for a second you see the matrix numbers of like what actually is happening inside of us when we use Twitter, and it's not,
it's fun bleak
to look at. It fucking sucks.
Yeah. What about you, Molly? Lies, rumors.
I don't know that there have been any like terribly interesting ones. I was talking earlier about this weird like pro Anna pop punk blogger who made me her enemy in 2013, and she was telling people that I had called her boyfriend and tried to get him to dump her, which was a weird one because I barely knew this person, didn't care about her, didn't know she had a boyfriend, and definitely didn't know his phone number. It was just like a really convoluted one.
Pro Anna kind of sounds like a pop punk band name.
I haven't been anyone's like target in that way.
That makes sense. So what did we learn today, folks?
Final thoughts?
It's like final thought. I don't know.
Jerry Springer final thought, but it's spelled T-H-O-T.
Oh, yeah. I bet no one. Yeah, that's a T-H-O-T-Z.
Crazy. Those two words are homophones. You can do a lot with it. I'm fucking tired
today. I know. That's the most. Is anyone hungry?
Yeah.
Huh? Is anyone hungry?
Actually, I'm going to go get pizza after this.
Okay, let's go get food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
Love it. Thanks. Oh, wait, do you have anything you want to plug or anything? I don't know.
You probably already know who I am if you're listening to this and you're an internet addict. But if you don't, my name's Jake. My at's Feral Jokes on everything, and I have a podcast. That's it.
Cool. Okay, let's get food.